Daniel Lewis Tyson is available is broadcast live every Monday night at 10 o'clock on Resonance 104.4 FM on digital radio. And you can also listen online via resonancefm.com.
Resonance 104.4 FM.
Hey, how you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Monday the 30th of March 2015 with me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, coming to you live at 10 o'clock on Resonance 104.4 FM. We are that poor door entrance hidden away on the side of that fancy new housing development you've moved into that your mummy and daddy paid for. Your bathroom might have a window. You've got a balcony to keep your bike safe and secure that overlooks the main road so you can watch the traffic jams. You can hang a picture on your walls without having to consult a 20-page contract. You do your best to ignore the fact that we are here. But even when you're out with your running club or cycling at the weekends, you think about us as much as we think about you, because we, your neighbours, albeit not for long, are still here. We are those Iceland Chinese takeaways you see in the recycling every Tuesday next to your Waitrose bags. Even when we get pushed out to Zone 4, we will take that 1.5 hour bus journey to get back to where we used to live, carrying our Iceland bags of recycling to dump them once more next to your recycling. That's how petty we can be. Those barely audible sighs permeating through your walls are ours as we open another letter from the letting agents informing us people like you have put our rents up again. You can take our parking spaces with your ridiculous oversized cars. You can take our money. You can push us out of the homes and streets we grew up in, and you can continue to put down deposits on these new homes up in the clouds. You can sit in Vauxhall Park watching summer cinema next to dog stalls, patting yourself on the back because apparently you're part of some new South London village, but you will not have our dreams. Let me be absolutely clear on that. How are you, South London? I hope you're all well. Welcome to, as always, to our listeners outside of our chicken heavy 11 recognised boroughs. You are as much a part of this show as we are. Just two attempts on the gate tonight. That's 80 from 13 shows this year. And typically, my door entry figures have come down just as this all ends. You know something? I come from a family familiar with the P45. I try to break that pattern. I try to do something different. A radio show. I still get phone calls from my cousin just before I go on air. No acknowledgement whatsoever that I'm doing radio. You'd think I hail from a family of broadcasters. On this week's show, the last of the series, an anecdote to complete. I get touched by the kestrel of SW8. The blob strikes again as Vauxhall's history continues to get rewritten. The kid gives us an end-of-series breakdown of his physique and hair, and more comments and suggestions from the library. Engineer number one, Chris Dixon, at the desk making this all happen. So, after 28 weeks, we have arrived at the end of this series. It is, as my old friend the Space Daddy put it to me during the week via a text, quite possibly composed whilst wearing his trademark kimono, the last day of term. We are in dress down mode tonight. We've brought our toys in right now. We're not worrying too much about who our form tutor's going to be next term. It is a night tinge with both sadness and excitement, just like that last day of term. Sadness that it's over, perhaps just as we were establishing ourselves in the classroom hierarchy. But excitement, too, that the holidays are stretched out before us. So, I've got an anecdote to finish, haven't I? I started it last week with the clock running down on us and I had to abort my story. First time that's happened whilst I've been here, and now I'm feeling the pressure. Is the anecdote strong enough to merit completing it this week? Do I do this? Does anyone care if I don't complete it? Will any listeners get in touch and ask, hey, Daniel, what about that incomplete story about that George Range top you bought from Asda spring of 2012 for under a tenner? You know what? I'm just going to go for it. We were in the cafe, weren't we? It was the morning of Thursday, the 19th of March, and I was sat at my usual toilet table just after 10. The cafe had emptied out. This guy had come in, mid to late 40s, moustache, heavy build, ex-military, I think, because I know someone who knows him. And he sat down to tuck into a full English, wearing this navy blue pseudo tracksuit top with grey and white piping, £8 from Asda, the George range, which I knew because I once had the same top, having bought it in the spring of 2011, I think, at the height of the recession. In fact, I still have it. It's now in the back of my backup wardrobe category, my clothes eventually occupy after a couple of years when they're gradually replaced. I looked at this guy who was so out of shape and deeply unfashionable in every sense of the word, and I thought, did I really buy that? What was I thinking? Did I really think that top was a starting point for me to begin this never-ending comeback? I even wore that top when I was doing a stand-up gig, prowling the stage like I was the most fashionable guy on the bill on that night. What was I thinking? Seeing that moustache man wearing my old top was like two old lovers meeting up, seeing each other, recognising their familiar old scents, but older, paunchier, their respective hands are liver-spotted, life has etched its disappointments on their faces. They've subsequently both gone on to take on more lovers, and it doesn't bother either of them because they realise they are no longer attracted to one another. That's how it felt, seeing this man in my old top. Onto Friday morning, just gone, upper deck of the number 2 bus southbound, bringing me into the heart of SW8. The 2 is one of the Great Cross London buses, a route formerly divvied up into two separate routes pre-1990. There was the number 2, there was the 2B. There was briefly the 2A in the late 80s as well. Just to give you a brief history of the number 2 bus, it originally ran via Herne Hill and Railton Road in Brixton in the 50s. A Monday to Saturday service numbered 2A was introduced. So the 2A was around for longer than I remembered it being around. The 2A was diverted from the north at West Norwood to the Rosendale, as Route 2 had been in the 30s, and was running via Brixton Road, Effra Road and Dulwich Road rather than Railton Road. On the Sunday service 2B from Crystal Palace to Golders Green ran, but via Tulse Hill to cover Route 186, which did not run on that day. Later, when that Route 186 was withdrawn completely, Route 2B started operating daily. The 2A, 2A and 2B used London's first bus lane southbound on Vauxhall Bridge, which came into operation in February 68. That is the very same bridge that gave me my love of the river when I first remembered crossing it back in 78. I even swam across the Thames in an early episode of Kid Cop, the seminal US cop drama that existed entirely in my own imagination back in the 80s. By the 80s, Route 2A had been withdrawn completely, and Route 2 was increasingly sidelined, withdrawn north of Baker Street from September 82, I think. Route 2B, which was the more direct of the routes, took on a more prominent role. From the late 80s, part of that Route 2B service was renumbered 2A. At the start of the 90s, Route 2 was rerouted in Stockwell via Lansdowne Way. I never understood that particular rerouting. But by 92, routes 2A, 2B became more straightforward. 2A ran from Crystal Palace to Brixton, and the 2B went from West Norwood to Baker Street, which was a far more enjoyable ride. And this, to me, this next bit is very interesting, which is why I've gone off on a tangent here with the 2s. In October 92, Route 2 was renumbered as the 322, which has been haunting our back streets ever since as a converted single-decker. Its chaotic hail and ride section south of West Norwood, making it, I think, London's worst bus. And Route 2B and the evening Sunday 2A became Route 2, and it remains so to this day. And that is where I was on Friday morning on the number 2 bus. A big bus throughout my life shepherded me to Belgravia back in the day where my mum worked. And these days, to and from South Lambeth Road several times a week if I'm feeling too lazy to walk. So I'm on the 2, and it's coming up to my stop. I press the bell to get off. I'm effectively telling passengers, it's okay, I've got this. I'm a disciple of the 6 stages of hand washing. Whatever diseases are on this belt, I'll wash them off soon as I step into the cafe, because no one in South London has cleaner hands than I do. Within moments of ringing that bell, at least 5 more people press that bell. That disappointed me. One stop, one bell. Come on, South London, sort it out.
Daniel Ruiz Tizón. Está tan disponible.
The time now is 9 minutes past 10. You're listening to Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available with me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, live on Resonance 104.4 FM. If you'd like to support the station, do visit resonancefm.com to make a secure donation. One thing that especially rankled me last week was a sign I saw on the site of the now erstwhile temporary Nine Elms Sainsbury's on Wandsworth Road as I waited for a southbound bus. Nine Elms Point, London's newest neighbourhood, apparently, the sign proclaimed. Who are they kidding, I thought when I saw that. As the Vauxhall Society pointed out in their strongly worded newsletter last month, the blob, the people behind this all-encompassing regeneration of the area, driven by the arrival of the American embassy 2 years from now, are laying claim to everything. There was a neighbourhood there before all of this. Let's not forget that Nine Elms is trying to stage its very own Premier League 1992 moment. There was a very interesting piece on the Nine Elms regeneration in the last couple of weeks in The Guardian. In fact, there are a couple of very strong pieces in yesterday's Observer, which anyone with an interest in South London and all the changes hit in the area might like to read. But going back to this earlier piece in the comments section, a poster had written something which really struck a chord with me, but which up until now I'd never been able to articulate in my own head. Now, one or two of the buildings that have risen in SW8 are admittedly impressive. St. George's Wharf, which preceded all of this when it was built in the late 90s, I think, is awful. I've been in one of those flats, and while they are very well insulated from external noise, which, you know, is important in this age where we're all living on top of one another, externally, I don't think much of the development. It's been the Docklands all over again, design-wise. But one or two, like the tower, SW8's very own Lighthouse of Alexandria on Nine Elms Lane, for me, have taken the breath away. I'm a sucker for glass-heavy buildings, but every time I've walked around the area looking at what's new, finding my access on the embankment and views of the river that I once took for granted blocked or altered in some way, there was something I couldn't quite put my finger on, an eerie quietness that set it apart from the old neighbourhood. And then I read this post, and the author mentioned how the Nine Elms redevelopment, the buildings that have already, in estate agent speak, launched, are dead zones. You walk past them or go through however much of these new developments can be accessed, and you don't see any children outside playing like you can still see on estates outside riding on their bikes or throwing stones as they do on Patmore Road, Battersea Way. I used to live on an estate back in the days when I had the overly sculpted goatee and the bob hairdressers insisted on giving me. And there was a spell where some of the local kids would abuse me, calling me Robert Pires. I was living with an ex-girlfriend at the time. She knew nothing about football, so she assumed it was an insult, which put pressure on me to take action and report these kids. I once told a kid about the abuse, and the kid said, "You know something? That's a compliment, Daniel. He's a good-looking guy." And it was a compliment. I tried to make the ex-girlfriend see it. I'd bring up pictures of Robert Pires on the PC, but she just had no interest in football. I was more than happy being called Robert Pires when I was putting the bins out. But she made me write to the local MP and our housing officer. I met with the housing officer. "What's going on with these troublesome kids?" he asked. "They're calling me Robert Pires." When I put the bins out, I told him, "You do know that's a compliment," he said. "You don't see any kids outside these new developments in Vauxhall and Nine Elms. No families emerging for a day out or a walk to the shops. It's just 4x4s emerging into the daylight from underground car parks. There is simply little sign of life at ground level." That whole stretch of Wandsworth Road right up to my old college, Vauxhall, long since renamed Lambeth College, is being radically altered, new developments cropping up everywhere. We talked about this a great deal in our first series on Resonance. It was an unseen threat back then. The pieces were being moved into position at a stately pace, like an episode of The Wire. But in this second series, it's finally started to happen. I find it sad. I find it scandalous. I was on the phone to Mickey Boyd last night. He said he'd never seen so many changes in South London. We are living at a time of extraordinary change. SW8 is the architectural equivalent of the Bride of Wildenstein, each new change altering it into something looking ever stranger and more grotesque. When you think that lifelong council tenancies nowadays are being phased out, I don't think I'm being sensationalist here when I say we are seeing the slow death of the working class in SW8. staying in the postcode on Wednesday morning on South Lambeth Road, just by the NatWest. I ran into the Kestrel, a man I mentioned on old podcast. The Kestrel is a local man with the longest arms in the area. When he sticks them out, as he often does, it's like he has the wingspan of a Kestrel. He wears this red jacket with blue on the shoulders and chest and walks around with his arms outstretched, touching anyone that walks anywhere near him. So it was just after 11. He was coming out of Chicken Cottage with what looked like a full bag of fried goodies. The Kestrel mumbled something at me and touched me. There was no point in trying to resist. I used to take that approach when I first encountered him in 2011, just before I bought that Asda top that would later be part of an aborted anecdote. The Kestrel will just follow you. Until he touches you, he will not go. So I let the Kestrel touch me, and then he was on his way, touching another three people nearby as he made his way in the direction of the Mercell Estate on Lansdowne Way, Nicky Boyd country, mumbling incoherently. 10:15 now, let's say farewell to the kid. Now, a spectacular series for him. A couple of appearances here in the studio with Chris and I, a disparity in upper thigh size ahead of a wedding that caused him to get the trousers of a wedding suit altered just on the one leg, a holiday, a significantly improved handshake, a relationship breakup, a car accident, and yet never once has the kid failed to update us on his physique. Where, I wondered, is the kid in his life as we close out the series? Where is his body? What's going on with the hair? The kid isn't in a good place, says the kid. My job is getting me down. I'm not cut out for shift work, and the rota I'm working means I'm getting very little time to have a life or even to pop into the studio with you guys. I desperately need a new job, Daniel. On a brighter note, my body is looking exceptionally good. I am contemplating getting my chest waxed before my next holiday. The kid is now going to Egypt. He only ever visits the world's troubled spots. My decision on getting my chest whacked, he says, will largely depend on whether the line that separates the pecs is visible. Hopefully it will be. Chris, can you give us any details on that? What is the kid talking about here? He's talking about the line that separates the pecs.
Ah, yes.
Can you be more specific about this?
It's hard to be without sort of seeming crude.
What's he looking for here?
Definition, possibly in the sunlight. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, if you do wax your chest, I think you do remove some of the kind of the natural shading and shape
that creates the illusion that accentuates the chest.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think the kid has contemplated that.
Yeah. I don't know, Daniel.
Okay. So should we encourage him to get this wax? He seems very keen on it.
I'd encourage anyone to do anything that they're particularly keen on doing.
Well, here's the thing. On the chest waxing, I asked the kid, would he not feel self-conscious about the waxing? As long as there is no hair, I don't care about what others will say, he shot back. If it makes me look more ripped, then I'm going in.
Sorry, so you're concerned about what he'll look like after the waxing than the process himself?
Well, here's the thing. He's looking to get back on the dating scene. We know he's split up with Midnight Blue.
Yeah.
If he meets someone just after his chest has been waxed, what does he do after, you know, the early dates? Does he keep an eye on the...
I've had this problem.
You have? Okay.
I've had this problem.
So the hair's growing back.
I have had to shave my chest for reasons of being in hospital because I need
ECG. Was this
just
after Christmas?
This is for an ECG.
Okay.
I had to have. I'm a hairy gentleman, so I need to remove that hair. And of course, you can't remove just a little bit of it.
All has to go.
It all has to go. You know, where do you start? Where do you stop? And then that grows back.
Did you feel like an imposter in your own body when you saw this bare chest?
It was an interesting look that I wasn't used to. Certainly, I quite like the look of. Not completely bald, but certain a bit of grow back after maybe, you know, looking for 5 millimetres or so. I think that's all right. But maintaining your body hair at a length of 5 mil is
not
almost
easy, is it?
It's almost more tedious than getting it than getting it regularly waxed.
Okay. Well, here's what the kid is saying. He's thinking, okay, this could impact upon potential dating. So what he's thinking about is if he tells the lady waxing his chest about his workouts and that he's single, depending on her situation, she might take an interest in him and he could avoid that problem if he is able to date her. She's going to know straight away, this is his thinking, that he gets his chest waxed and the next couple of waxes might be free. She's not going to be startled by anything more than 5 millimetres growing back. Good thinking. The kid's got it all worked out.
The key is to have a practical reason other than just vanity.
I don't think the kid's got that. You've met him. It's not a practical thing.
Yeah, but to have something in the bag that doesn't make you sound entirely vain and vacuous. And we know he's not. There is actually depth to this gentleman. I'm sure that there is something that he can pull out of the bag that could make him of wider appeal on longer term to other than the most vainglorious of women.
Before we leave the kid, I want to know...
see him happy.
His default face is the grin. Before we leave him, I wanted to know if the kid from the first series was to find himself in a changing room at the gym and run into the kid as he is now with his body. What would Series 2 kid say to Series 1 kid about his physique? It's a question the kid was only too happy to answer. Series 2 kid would say, you've got a great frame, but focus on your legs and balance in your body. Hit the upper chest regularly. We salute the kid and his magnificent ego.
Certainly do.
Some Mansfield talk now. On Saturday, football hand-washing pioneers Mansfield were at home to fellow strugglers York and found themselves thumped 4-1. The defeat means the gap between them and the relegation spots is now cut back to 7 points and sees Mansfield even slip to 18th. We wish them good luck in their efforts to stay up. Keeping an eye on the clock, 21 minutes past 10, let's move on to the latest comments and suggestions from my local library.
I would like the library to get the book My Child Won't Eat, How to Enjoy Mealtimes Without Worry by Carlos Gonzalez.
That's our first comment this week. The library have responded, pinning their reply on the message board.
Dear reader, thank you for your recent suggestion to add the My Child Won't Eat, How to Enjoy Mealtimes Without Worry by Carlos Gonzalez to the library stock. It is now included on our list.
Fortunately, my imaginary son, unlike me when I was a child, isn't a fussy boy. He will eat anything. I hope, though, that Carlos Gonzalez's book gets this parent's child eating. Our next one.
Are you going to open the toilet?
Last week, if you recall, a recurring theme from the comments and suggestions at the library was that the toilets were closed. The library has now responded to all toilet comments.
Dear readers, thank you for your recent comments. We are working on getting the public toilet in order. The matter stems from the drain serving the property in Wilcox Close, which joins the main trunk foul sewer, which runs alongside the library.
Very specific.
This affects Lambeth Living, the library, Thames Water and other local agencies. The matter has been escalated to the directors of Lambeth Living and we are working on replacing the drain.
So if you are making your way to South Lambeth Library, do make sure to go to the loo first. Nothing comes easy in Lambeth, and I have a feeling that despite the library's best efforts, this is going to take a while to resolve.
Estáis escuchando Daniel Ruiz Tizón está disponible en Resonance 104.4 FM.
Do remember, Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available. Gets another airing on Resonance on Friday at 5 p.m. And the podcast is out from the early hours of Tuesday morning on iTunes. Please do rate and review it on iTunes if that is how you listen to the show. Reviews keep the show in the iTunes charts, something that could help make a difference as we look to see if we're coming back for a third series later this year. If you'd like to support my work, visit the blog 1607westegg.wordpress.com and click on the PayPal link. Let's visit the cafe now one last time, which for now continues holding out against the SW8 developers, much like the village in Asterix held out against the Romans. There is every chance I will die with a tall glass in my hand. Sometimes I can visualise myself being wheeled into the cafe for the last time after years away by my resentful imaginary son, by now with his own family, making a poor effort at disguising his annoyance at the fact I haven't passed away yet. This week's Future Me alerts. Tuesday, 24th of March, 10:24 hours. Thursday, 26th of March, 10:26 hours. And this morning, my future self made a late entrance at 10:46 hours. He's cut a more stooped, sickly figure in this series. I do hope Future Me is still with us if and when we reappear. The SW8 Yummy Mummies were, of course, in the cafe on Wednesday, dead on 11:15 a.m. "I've hardly expressed any milk today," said Yummy 1. "I can do about 40 minutes on each breast," said Yummy 2. "And then I'm done." Moving on, since the new year, this long-standing regular whose association with the cafe goes back as far as my own to the start of the millennium, he's been greeting me. Began with a happy new year on New Year's Day. It's gone on from there. I like this. It's an opportunity to study how some familiarity might evolve. Over the years, I have extricated myself from the daily greetings that were a part of my life before I started bouncing around between postcodes as the city's rents began their incredible rise and forced me to keep moving. But this year, just 3 months in, I find myself greeting more people than I have in years owing to this long-standing association with a cafe. I haven't had to stop and say hello to so many people since leaving home 15 years ago. And I guess that is what community is. My lack of facial expressions mean people never quite know whether they can take the greeting further, which I think is a good thing, but I'm okay with the hellos now. I know I can do them. This morning, however, I missed a greeting from this regular as they came into the cafe just after 11. In my defence, he did step into the cafe quite hurriedly. I just caught the end of the greeting, and I could definitely see the greeter had tried to make his greeting less formal. He'd simply thrown his arm up in the air like he had a lot of things to do today, and this was about as much time as he could devote to the greeting. But I would rather take things slowly. I wasn't ready for this, and I saw his less formal greeting coming too late. This is something that could set us back months. I wasn't sure how aware my greeter was that I missed the greeting, but it bothered me. I thought, do I find some excuse to greet them now? And if I was to find an excuse to greet them again and my greeter was oblivious to the fact that I missed their original greeting, might they think I then over-greeted them? I chose not to re-greet him. The greeter might now be thinking that greetings have to be kept formal for the long term. Not that I was looking for an opportunity for whatever we have got going to move beyond the small talk, but this morning definitely gave us an opening for that one that I failed to take. And that is it. It is time to leave the cafe, and it is time for us to go. We got through the winter together. We looked at mantelpieces. We scrutinised the beer dumps that showed us change is very much on the way in SW8. 112 buses were boarded in the making of this second series, at least 70 of which featured someone eating fried chicken. Approximately 315 lattes were nursed over the last 28 shows. You've had 51 shows from me in the last year. I've had 3 hairdressers in that last year. Abort my haircuts owing to an apparent bulbous rear of the head. I scored 2 bag reuse points when I never brought my own bags with me. I don't regret those bag reuse points enough. I'm now off to work on other projects to try and bring in some money. I don't have more than £300 in my pension. That's not even going to cover a week of a care worker's salary 25 years from now. I've loved doing this now, you know, we're just 6 shows shy of 100 editions of this, and I would like to get there. Daniel Ruiz Tyson Is Available was the denouement of 20 years or more of flirting with radio, from my days on hospital radio with King's College in Camberwell to my time with First Love FM in Lewisham in the early 90s, from a brief spell on Radio 4 to doing hundreds of podcasts before ending up here on Resonance FM, the country's most unique radio station. I created a show in a tiny box room in Merton. I moved on to record from a sublet in Peckham in a room that had a giant cot in it but no baby. I never asked any questions. And to go from that, recording within sight of my bed, to come in here every week, negotiating my way past Dr. Stew and his numerous guests, of whom even the lowest earner among them probably earns more than I made back in my highest earning years, has been a notable achievement in my highly underachieving life. Once we work out how to finance the show, and I am working very hard on that, if we can finally pull that off, that's when it comes back, either as a radio show or just as a podcast again. I'm sorry not to have more details for you right now. Visit the blog from time to time, 1607westegg.wordpress.com for news. Meantime, if you have other shows you enjoy, whether they're here on Resonance or elsewhere, do for more than a moment contemplate how the creators of these shows survive, how they bring you that work every week. We too need to pay our bills or child maintenance for children that exist only in our imagination. Later stats show that 72% of people being caught out claiming bag reuse points in supermarkets when they haven't actually brought their own bags with them are creators of some form or another who are making very little money. Life is sometimes about accepting there are things you wanted to do in your life that you may have to accept are no longer possible. But it's also, I think, about realizing that there are things that had never crossed your mind before that may in later life be the right option for you. Life is about taking those opportunities, and it has been. It's been a pleasure to build up the show from those lowly recordings in cramped accommodation days to working with engineer number one, Chris Dixon, on Monday nights, watching him scream at Dr. Stu and his guests to get out of the studio 30 seconds before I go on air. You can catch Chris on Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. with Cerebral Football Show Cafe Calcio. You can follow me on Twitter, 1607 West Egg, the blog, 1607westegg.wordpress.com. The gravy after this. Thank you all for listening and support for the show. Get those shoulders back, South London. Keep on walking towards the sun. What else are we going to do? I'm Daniel Ruiz-Tyson. For the last 28 weeks, I have been available.